Every Christ follower is issued a simple and yet profound invitation. It's an invitation to follow. However, this is not an invitation to follow blindly, because His footprints are there for you to see. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. If you dare to accept the challenge to follow Jesus in His steps, you will join a long line of faithful followers who have gone before you, both within Fraser Church and around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 2 of In His Steps, a prayer for restoration. John Phillips once said, "His need was great. He had sinned with a high hand against God, who had lavished countless benefits upon him. His sin was inexcusable. He took all the blame. It's me and mine all the way through. Have mercy upon me. Wash me. Cleanse me." He talked about mine iniquity, my sin, my transgressions. He did not blame heredity, society, or his fallen nature. He assumed full responsibility. Our text today comes to us from Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 through 12. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin are ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." The book of Psalms is a collection of five smaller books. These books were collected gradually over time to incorporate worship forms developed along with temple worship. Psalms 51 is part of Book 2, which begins with Psalm 41 and ends with Psalm 71. From Psalm 51 to the end of Book 2, all but four psalms are attributed to David. Psalm 51 is David's prayer for restoration after he had sinned greatly by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then having her husband Uriah killed. In Psalm 51, we find a model prayer on confessing sin and seeking forgiveness and restoration. James Montgomery Boyce highlights two essential ingredients found in David's prayer. Two things come together in these verses. The first is a fierce, almost desperate clinging to God's mercy. This is profound because, as many commentators have pointed out, mercy is the sole basis of any approach to God by sinners. We cannot come to God on the basis of His justice. Justice strikes us with fear and causes us to hide from Him. We are not drawn to God by His wisdom. Wisdom does not embolden us, though we stand in awe of it. No more does omniscience, omnipotence, or omnipresence. The only reason we dare come to God and dare hope for a solution to our sin problem is His mercy. The second striking thing in these opening verses, which comes together with the first, is David's profound awareness of his sin and its true nature. In verses 1 and 2, he uses three words to describe his sin. The first word is transgressions. It refers to crossing a forbidden boundary with the thought that this is serious rebellion. We have crossed the boundary of his moral law and are at war with him in consequence. The second word is iniquity. It means perversion and refers to what we usually call original sin or the depravity of our natures. Significantly, it is the word used in the first part of verse 5 in the phrase sinful from birth. The third word is sin itself. It means falling short or missing the mark. We miss God's high mark of perfection, falling short of it in the same way an arrow might fall short of a target. These three words occur again later in the psalm. All refer to personal failure, which David emphasizes by speaking of my transgressions, my iniquity, and my sin. Warren Wiersbe adds the following insight. David's sins had affected his whole person, his eyes, his mind, his ears and bones, his heart and spirit, his hands and lips. Such is the high cost of committing sin. David knew this, so he asked for more than cleansing. As important as that is, he wanted his entire being to be restored so he could serve the Lord acceptably. He wanted the joy of the Lord within him and the face of the Lord smiling upon him. David asked the Lord to create a new spirit within him and to give him a steadfast spirit that would not vacillate. Verse 10 is the central verse of the psalm and expresses the heart of David's concern. David knew that the inner person, the heart, was the source of his trouble, as well as the seat of his joy and blessing, and he was incapable of changing his own heart. Only God could work a miracle. Passionate prayer results from a heart that views sins from God's perspective. True confession leads to a sincere cry for God's mercy, and genuine repentance leads to God's restoration. Here's some questions to ponder. In what ways does David's prayer reveal his heartfelt confession? Why does David use three words for sin in his prayer to God for mercy? In what other ways is David's prayer a great example to follow when seeking God's forgiveness and restoration? Be blessed today and have a great day.